So the one thing that you just can't teach is joy of performance. That means your own personal joy, how you feel when you're on stage or on the set. You can't teach that feeling. And that's something that you gotta hang on to. No matter what happens, that joy of performance is something that no one will be able to take away from you.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast, insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Casting Actors Cast, and welcome. So glad that you're here, and I think we're going to have a really fun show today, because I'm going to be talking about pet peeves. You know, we all have a little pet peeves, things that bother us, and today I'm going to kind of tackle all of those pet peeve questions that I get and that Pat gets from actors in some of the seminars and classes that we teach. So it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And again, thank you for joining us. This is the moment where I thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been really exciting, I have to say. I'm getting lots of responses from folks. In fact, some of the responses that I'm giving you today are going to be as a result of some of the questions that I've gotten. And those actors have gone onto the website, castingactorscast.com, and have submitted questions or made some kind of comments that help me to shape and define those questions that you might have as an actor. So please, castingactorscast.com. Hey, and do you know what? Don't forget to tell your friends. I love getting messages from folks. It just kind of keeps me going. It's also a really fun part of my week to put together a podcast and know that there are people out there like you listening. Makes a world of difference. So we're going to talk today about pet peeves, those things that casting directors are often really bothered by, whether an actor is auditioning, whether an actor is in some kind of communications with a casting director. So these are based on questions that you have, and the first question almost always in any of the classes or seminars we teach is, what are your pet peeves? And there are a few common ones. The thing is that pet peeves can come and go. There are things that can bother you, and then there are things that you can let go. And then there are those things that sort of last a really long time, which is kind of sad, I guess, because we all have pet peeves. We all have things that can bother us. And if you let those pet peeves sort of rule your life, then it can become really kind of a sad situation. So I don't hang on to these pet peeves too much, but there are a few, and I'm going to share them with you right now. One of them is at auditions. I think many actors fail to just kind of grasp the concept that an audition literally is a job interview. So everything from the way you dress, the way you comport yourself. Ooh, good word, comport. Anyway, the preparation time that you put into the audition, those are all pretty obvious. Even sometimes actors will apologize for not having time to prepare. And I've always found that to be a little bit like, well, okay, what does that information do to help me evaluate you on the same level that I'm evaluating everybody else? Because, you know, everybody else is coming in prepared. So what you're saying is, if you do a bad audition, it's because you're not prepared. That's kind of a pet peeve. So I wouldn't really apologize. Take the circumstances that you were given, and if there wasn't enough time to prepare, you have a couple of choices there. You can just simply try and give it your best shot, or you cannot take the audition. It really becomes that simple. So preparation, I think, is a pet peeve because it's part of your job, obviously, and you really want to be prepared. No actor wants to come in and be unprepared. But if you've taken an appointment or your agent has gotten you an appointment, it really is up to you to do the right thing and be as prepared as you possibly can. The other pet peeve is for actors to come in and they are not aware of the date of the project. For example, if it's a regional theater job, they'll come in and audition, and then the question on a callback is, and so when is this happening again? That's really crazy talk, because it's a really important that the actor know the dates of their project, don't you think? And so this happens more frequently than you might imagine, and that is when an actor will take a job, accept an offer, and then say, yeah, but I have a wedding to go to a week before the show's opening. That going to be okay? Well, no, dude. It's not going to be okay. If you knew you had this wedding and it was an important wedding, that's fine. I mean, everybody has weddings. Everyone has life events. That's great. But why did you come in and audition in the first place? Why? That puts us in a really bad position, not only with the producer or the director. And then we'll call the agent and say, why would you accept this audition for this actor if you knew they were going to be out of town? Invariably, the agent will say, well, you know, they never told me. It just becomes kind of a cluster mess because you failed to do your due diligence by finding out the exact dates of the production. Now, this also happens sometimes, but not as frequently as you might think, but it does happen, and I think it bears putting into the pet peeves pot, and that is the actor who decides that because a better offer has come along, that they're not going to take the offer that they've already accepted for the job you're working on, for the project that we're working on. Now, there's a couple of caveats to that. One is, if it's a better job and it happens in a time frame that gives us an opportunity to find a good, equal, and fair replacement for the project, then, you know, that's understandable. Those kinds of things happen. So it's not about some moral obligation to do the job you've accepted no matter what. Life isn't like that. Roles aren't like that. So you could really conceivably be certainly congratulated rather than despised by letting us know in advance that something else has come up, something else has happened, and you really would like to withdraw from that particular project. Now, if that happens very, very suddenly and you've given us 4 days before production to drop out of a project and the reason isn't quite good enough, and you know what I mean by that, if it's a personal issue that has some meaning and consequence, then we would certainly understand. But sometimes it's really hard for us to grasp the concept of you've suddenly decided that you're going to stay in town rather than take the regional theater job because you really want to do more film and television. So those are a couple of pet peeves as it relates to auditioning and just general pet peeves when the actor comes into audition. I guess it's your ability to accept a job and your overall attitude about the business, because you are, as I've said many times, the CEO of your own company. Make it important to you that you communicate to those people who are in a position to be helpful to you or to perhaps be not your best friend because you failed to communicate those issues to us. So let's move on. Another question that we get almost all the time, and it's not a pet peeve as much as it is a question that we get and then the fact that many times actors don't respond appropriately. So the question I get is, how do you stay in touch? What's the best way to stay in touch with a casting person? And I've got a lot to say about this. One of Pat's suggestions about this was that sometimes she'll get a piece of snail mail. And by the way, the answer to the question is that we really prefer snail mail because it's something that's in front of us. If it's a postcard with your picture on it, which is great, and you're just dropping us a line about something that you're doing, or you know about a project that we're working on that you believe that you might be right for, and we know your work, or we've had some connection with you, whether it be in a class situation, or whether it be that we brought you in on previous auditions for other projects, whatever that is, Snail mail is really the preferred method for our office. Now, other agencies have different feelings about that. Email is not really a great way to stay in touch because it gets lost, and we get anywhere from, 50 to 175 emails a day regarding business matters or regarding communications with clients, agencies. So email just kind of becomes more of a distraction than it is helpful. So snail mail is really, really good. But back to what Pat was saying, one of the things that happens on occasion is that the person will write, having a wonderful time here in Cleveland, and thank you so much for the opportunity, Scott. Believe it or not, we know quite a few people named Scott. So they fail to leave their last name on these correspondences. It's like, thanks so much. You're the best. Judy. Okay, thanks. Judy who? So a postcard with your picture that has your name on it is really, really a great idea. But snail mail is really the best way to stay in touch. The other invariable question that happens, well, how do you know what things to write on a postcard? And here's the filter. Anything that you think would be useful information for us to have, whether it's you booked a show, maybe you're doing, you've done an episodic and now you're going to be appearing on ABC television in a particular episode and you want us to watch. Maybe you had a really great experience in class and you just wanted to a quick note of thanks. Those are all kind of nice. I like the human connection of that. We don't covet your postcards, by the way. We take a look at them. We take a look and see your picture. That's just a little bit of FaceTime that you would get. And we toss it. We throw it away. No disrespect intended. It's just that's exactly what you want to have happen. No more. Raising your expectations about a postcard is just a waste of time, I think. And just a little bit of a communication, just keeping yourself in that loop of actors who are working, or more importantly, have something of value to share with who you're sending it to. Give me a reason that you're sending the postcard. Here's the most disliked postcard. Hi, thank you for the great class. If you think I'm right for anything your office is doing, please let me know. That's really kind of generic and vague and doesn't help me help you. In fact, it puts me in a position of feeling like I'm obligated to now put you in the world of something I'm working on at that moment. Because as human beings, I have a tendency to focus only on what project I'm working at on any given moment. And I may have three or four projects simultaneously, but I am focused only on that project at that moment. And just being sort of generically available speaks more of desperation in a way, and it also doesn't help me help you. I've said that before. And the last thing I want to share about receiving postcards is I occasionally get emails and or postcards, and they say something like the following. I'm seeking representation, and hopefully your agency will consider using me. Yeah, I get those. And if I'm just kind of peeved enough, I'll write back to that person and say, we are not an agency. We are casting directors. And if you don't know the difference, that is a kind of an embarrassment for you, because you should know the difference between what we do as casting directors and your looking for representation opportunities. So something to keep in mind, I think. Okay, so let's move on to another pet peeve that is more surprising, I think, to you when I share this, because it happens a little more frequently than you might imagine. But please make sure that your materials are all up to date. If you change an email address, if you've changed a phone number, or you got a new cell phone or whatever, you need to let people in the business know how to get a hold of you. So having an old email address or an old phone number, or if you've moved into a different living situation, whatever it is, please, please, please let us know about that. it's crazy that we might have a last minute need to get a hold of you for whatever reason. Maybe we want to bring you in for an audition. Maybe we saw that you did a role and we need to replace that role with somebody, and that somebody could be you. And then we try all of our ways of getting a hold of you. Sometimes we'll even call Equity to get a phone number. If you're an Equity member or a union member, we'll call SAG and AFTRA. You haven't updated your information on any of those websites. Maybe you haven't updated your information on Actors Access or any of the other websites that are used for putting actors and projects together. Yikes. That's really not a great thing. So make sure that all of your materials are up to date. Now, moving on from that, this question I get frequently, should I join the union as soon as I can, or should I wait? What's the best advice you have? As far as casting directors are concerned, generally speaking, being a union member or not is not that big a deal. In fact, I don't believe we filter or think of non-union actors any differently than we think of union actors. That's just a statement of circumstance, especially if you're a young person. And I think the answer that you've heard but maybe don't quite believe is that the right time will present itself when you should join the union. In other words, I've never seen anybody join a union and got more work. So if you are a non-union actor right now, and you're not sure about whether you should join the union or not, I would kind of not worry about that. I would make myself available to as many different opportunities and auditions as I could, and I wouldn't struggle with the question. Believe me, if you are hired to be in a SAG-AFTRA motion picture, and it's a big role, then you might have to join the union. That's just the way that would work, because it's a big opportunity. It's a union picture. But there are a lot of non-union opportunities that are out there that, if you don't have a lot of experience, might be really great for you at first. And that also helps build up your network. It helps build up your knowledge base about how to behave on a set. And all of those kinds of early learning curve things get done if you're a non-union person. And a union person is expected to know a little bit more about those certain things. Nothing to do with your acting, everything to do with you as a professional. So I would just let the question go, show up to as many opportunities as you can. Here's another question that I've actually gotten from somebody who wrote to me about this. How would you deal with actors of a certain age? Those actors who maybe were in the business at one time left the business to either raise a family or some life-changing event took them away. What was the best way to get back into the business? And the answer, I think, is kind of logical, but I think actors of a certain age are reluctant to do this because they feel it's some kind of, there's a little level of embarrassment. Well, first and foremost, you just don't be embarrassed about that. Your journey as an actor is yours. It's unique to who you are. It's as unique as your personality, as your acting skill level. So the reality should be for you to write a letter to those people who you might be dealing with, whether it be an agent, whether it be a manager, whether it be a casting director, but writing a kind of a funny, upbeat letter of reintroduction. You can phrase it any way you want, but I kind of like the upbeat side of things rather than I went through a critical medical issue. You know, you understand where I'm going with this, that you make me feel badly for you. Might be a better choice to use something more of an upbeat nature, something more friendly, that you've had some awesome experience in the past, and after raising your kids and realizing that your first love, aside from your kids, is acting, then that would be really kind of a nice letter. And we get those kinds of letters all the time. If it's we can't see you in an interview, for example, then sending a snail mail with that would be kind of lovely and certainly not an embarrassment to you at all. So please don't feel embarrassed by that. Wow, where did the time go? It really just kind of flew by. Those are a handful of little pet peeves, my responses to them. What pet peeves do you have as it relates to coming in for an audition. Maybe you have a pet peeve about casting directors. Are there times when you felt that you've been treated poorly by the casting person that you wish were different? I'd love to hear that, and we can certainly share those as well. So thank you so much again today. Please stay in touch every Thursday, and I would love, again, to hear from you. Please consider contacting me through castingactorscast.com. Lastly, I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, and lastly, thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.